President Carter arrives in the Pacific Northwest within the hour to inspect the damage done by Mount St. Helens. Just before he left, the president declared the state of Washington a disaster area to permit the use of federal funds for relief and recovery efforts. Mr. Carter will spend the night in Portland, Oregon, and fly over the volcano tomorrow. But there may not be much to see. The mountain is covered by clouds, and as Howard Berkus of member station KLCC reports, the volcano is taking a break.
Eruption activity has been declining since Sunday's massive explosion literally blew the top off of St. Helens. Eruptions now are mostly of steam and are occurring sporadically. Earthquake activity is also down. The quakes are less frequent and of magnitudes lower than any time in 2 months. But the danger has not passed. Scientists say further violent eruptions are possible, and an 18-mile-long mass of mud, ash, ice blocks, and debris has formed a dam on the mountain's north slope. Behind that dam is an estimated 80 billion gallons of water. The dam may break, releasing tons of muddy, debris-filled water into the Toutle River. Towns as far as 50 miles away are on flood alert. 50,000 residents of the area have been told to pack suitcases and to be ready to move at a moment's notice. For National Public Radio, this is Howard Berkus in Vancouver, Washington.
The eruption has claimed at least 11 lives. More than 70 people are still reported missing. The dusk-to-dawn curfew has been lifted in Miami's black neighborhoods. Police report no major incidents in the last day after 3 days of the worst racial rioting in the country in more than 10 years. 16 people were killed in the violence. Property damage exceeds $100 million. This afternoon, a federal grand jury began investigating the beating death of a black insurance executive. An acquittal in that case triggered the Miami rioting.
I think what you saw in Miami, as tragic as it was, it tells you how frustrated, how angry, and the kind of hostility that has been building up in black communities all across this country.
Today in Portland, Oregon, the Black United Front announced that last Monday's boycott of public schools would be the first step toward efforts at gaining racial equality in Portland. More from Ron Wadowski.
The Black United Front is charged that the school administration has backed down on promises it made last year to improve educational opportunities for black children. Ron Herndon, co-chairman of the front.
Miami can be replicated in any black community in this country. You got people who are out of work. You have people who historically have seen family members, relatives brutalized by the police. Sometime that dynamite's going to blow up in your face.
Yesterday, a white principal was named to head the first black middle school to be opened here in several years. Herndon calls it an insult to blacks, and he says some form of protest will be decided on at a community meeting tomorrow night. For National Public Radio, this is Ron Wadowski in Portland, Oregon.
Tonight in South Africa, police opened fire on black rioters. First reports say a man was killed and two women were injured. It's believed to be the first time police had fired on demonstrators since thousands of mainly colored school children began boycotting classes in the middle of April. Tonight's incident occurred in a black township in the central part of the country. One of his spokesmen says he's not ready to quit, but George Bush admits he's reassessing his future as a Republican presidential candidate. This after two television networks reported Ronald Reagan has the delegates he needs to win the GOP nomination. Even though Bush trounced Reagan in yesterday's Michigan primary, he acknowledged it might not be enough to keep his campaign afloat. Senator Edward Kennedy maintains his never-say-die stance, and today, after President Carter soundly defeated him in Oregon, he said to look for some surprises on Super Tuesday. That's June 3rd, when 8 Democratic primaries will be held, among them Ohio. Speaking to the Ohio AFL-CIO convention in Cincinnati today, Kennedy urged his party to offer voters something better than 4 more years of apologetic failure. The Massachusetts senator said President Carter could well finish third in a 3-way race with Ronald Reagan and independent John Anderson. He said a lot's at stake in the November election.
The issues of this campaign are more than counters in a game of delegates. How we decide them will define the soul of the Democratic Party. And the kind of unity we achieve may determine the viability of our party in 1980, and perhaps for the next generation. And if our presidential nominee is an also-ran in the fall election, we may also awaken on November 5th to find that the Democratic Party has suffered yet another disaster, the loss of the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Kennedy told the labor organization, the clear message is, if President Carter is renominated, you lose. The leader of the hardline majority in Iran's new parliament says the legislators have a lot of routine work to do and may not get around to debating the fate of the American hostages for several weeks. The Ayatollah Beheshti says that America should therefore be patient. As George Guetta reports from the State Department, there's not much else the U.S. can do.
Today was an unhappy milestone for the 50 American hostages in Iran, their 200th day in captivity. State Department spokesman Haring Carter saw it as 200 days in which Iran has been in violation of international law. A solution seems no closer. The administration speaks vaguely of diplomatic initiatives, but without much conviction. The American policy of economic warfare against Iran has suffered a setback with Britain's decision to pull back from its planned sanctions package. France and West Germany, however, are going ahead with their own trade sanctions. The World Court, meanwhile, says it will rule Saturday on a U.S. claim that Iran is obligated to release the hostages. Even in the event of a favorable ruling, however, no one in Washington believes Iran will pay much attention. For National Public Radio at the State Department, this is George Guetta.
The anti-government violence continues in South Korea. Thousands of armed civilians today took virtual control of the southwestern city of Gwangju in protest of the imposition of martial law throughout the country. The unrest began with demonstrations by students calling for democratic reforms in South Korea. The trouble has lately centered on Gwangju, and the country's martial law commander today blamed it all on North Korean spies. Despite White House opposition, the House has overwhelmingly approved a record defense authorization bill. The $53.1 billion measure would provide money next year for an array of additional ships, planes, and other weapons, as well as research and development. The Senate version is still in committee. Congressional negotiators have approved a 1981 federal budget that would be balanced for the first time in a dozen years. The agreement could actually produce a $500 million surplus. It calls for a major increase in defense spending. One other piece of business on Capitol Hill today, House and Senate conferees approved a $20 billion synthetic fuels package, and that's the final part of President Carter's energy package. The Dow Jones Industrials off a point and a half today to 831.06. The trading was moderately active. I'm Richard Harris in Washington.